If you look at the map, it looks like an incredible distance, but then you arrive here and you think, it's possible, yeah? I don't know. It looks impossible, but then you make it possible.
If there are mechanicals, I'll deal with them. If there are any other problems, I'll deal with them. And this just builds your confidence, self-confidence. And this is an excellent thing, and it, you know, translates into your normal life.
Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 17 and another sweltering hot morning across the southern half of TCO number 12. In Kalamata, riders continue to flow along the final parkour and over the finish line. But we start today's stories back at Control Point 4 in Albania, which closes tonight, meaning any riders that arrive after the cutoff point will be out of general classification. Senka Kraft, Cap 70, is at CP4 with plenty of time to spare, though one small part of him got left behind on the road somewhere. Race volunteer Lisa is there with the mic.
What are you having for breakfast at the moment?
Eco-free beer.
How many?
Two of them at once.
Can you tell me what happened to your face? It's changed a bit since you started, hasn't it?
There's no problem with my face, but I lost my frontal tooth on an olive stone 3 days ago. Yeah.
How did that happen?
There was just a crunching noise and that's it.
Nice. How's your ride been here?
Okay, I mean, you just ride. I think that's the whole purpose. Every day in and out.
Do you think you're going to have any more olives when you get to Kalamata?
I mean, I have another tooth left. Let's see. It was the one meal that I took with time and like I was sitting down. And then, I crushed my teeth.
Dan Jones, Cap 81, also arrives at CP4. He's been keeping a close eye on the local sheep as he's made his way through the Balkans.
Can you tell me, what do you do for a living?
I'm a sheep farmer at home, but it's a bit different really, because my role is more nature conservation, so we use the sheep for conservation grazing.
Nice, so your home is?
North Wales. I farm a place called the Great Orme in North Wales. It's like a rocky outcrop that sticks out into the Irish Sea. And it's really high nature status area, so that it's really important we look after it.
Yeah, lovely. How's it been for you riding through Albania? Obviously, there's lots of sheep and goats around. How does it compare to what you do and what's sort of stuck out to you?
Oh, it's what I would love to do, really, something like that, but there's absolutely no money in it, so I just couldn't do it, really. I like the finer things in life, but seeing the shepherds doing the traditional shepherding has been amazing, and it's I've actually taken lots of photos and stopped and tried to communicate with them, so it's been amazing. It's been a massive part for me, really, of the race.
Can you explain to us what they do, what traditional shepherding is? What they
The sheep are corralled in the night here because they've got natural predators here, and like us at home. So the sheep are corralled and then they're taken out and they're just grazed on different areas throughout the day, and then the shepherd will stay with the sheep and move them on as soon as he thinks they need moving on. So it's an amazing lifestyle in an amazing setting. But I don't think it's for everybody, but I'd love to do it. So it's been amazing seeing everything.
Luca Bessems, Cap 214, is one of five bursary riders taking part in this year's TCR. The riding is going well, but finding gluten-free food is proving a little more tricky.
Yes, do I toast that one?
I'm allergic to gluten, so I cannot eat the toast.
Cheese, salam. No salam.
No toast.
Ma certo.
I've made a document for this.
Hey, tomatoes.
I've not had gluten-free bread since 5 days. So I'm craving some real food. Where are we now? In Albania.
You've got a little chart with...
I've made an Excel sheet with my gluten allergy explained in all languages.
No bread. Yes.
But omelettes and rice, yes. Maybe?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So this has been the story of my last few days, yeah, so it's a good
imagine.
Example.
So you can't eat any gluten at all?
No.
Has that been really tough on the whole race?
Well, it's just like you get like these really high sugar peaks because you cannot eat any slow sugar. So yeah. I've been sitting down a bit more to eat some omelette and rice like I'm doing now. But on Sundays, for example, it's a bit more complicated. But I have some rice waffles, rice cakes with me.
Yeah.
And I'm having some, I found some oats. So I've tried to blend oats with yogurt and I found my ways. So I'm well nourished still.
Yeah, it sounds like you're having to be a bit more creative than other riders probably.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay.
I'm used to it.
Let's head to Greece and the finish line in Kalamata with race reporter Sophie Potter.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another day at the finish line of TCR. We are at the Skipper Cafe Bar in Kalamata, and the sun is burning. It's really, really, really hot today, and it's going to get even hotter by the end of the week. Every morning I arrive in the finish line, and there is always the same rider here. So I ask them, like, do you actually... What do you do with all your day? And most of them, they don't know what to do, actually, because they knew what they had to do for like 2 weeks, and now they are like, they don't know what to do. So one rider told me that at 6 a.m. this morning, I woke up like quickly and say like, oh, I need to go riding. Like, I need to get back on my bike. But no, he doesn't have to. The race is over. But there is still like group rides, like riders organizing group rides together. There is a... waterfall like 30 kilometers from here, so it's definitely a must-see, and there is every day like a social ride basically going there. Although, rumor said that some riders were too fast and didn't wait for the other. It seems like the race is never over.
Emiliano Baraval, cap 359, rolls into the finish line after 17 days on the road. That moment of arrival is often one of relief, of realization, a final release.
Can you tell us what you feel?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
See you again.
Yes. How many ice cream since I saw you?
I don't know. 15 kilo. Yes, too much emotional.
Why do you think you have those emotions? Have you been keeping them inside?
Yes, until 1 hour ago. And then...
And now it's...
it's normal.
Yeah,
but... Crazy until the end, and happy to be here. Yeah,
we're happy to see now, you too. What are you going to do now? Now did you want to ride your bike?
I don't know. Everybody wanted I go home, but if I go home, I need to work. So maybe stay a couple of days here.
Yeah. If you had to describe TCR in one word, what would it be?
Crazy. I think that there is no words, okay? Because sometimes you are angry with the TCR, sometimes you are super happy, okay? And so maybe sometimes you say, no, this I never want to make it again. And then you say, no, okay. So this is a crazy event, a crazy race. And so
it's high emotion.
There is nothing about this, nothing. You know more than me at the end, okay? And it's very important for me, save this mentality, okay? It's like unique. And so this is super important. Super important. Yeah. That's crazy.
Also at the finish line, and for his second GC finish at TCR, Bart Pombrou, cap 56.
Have you learned something during TCR?
If you look at the map, it looks like an incredible distance, but then you arrive here and you think,
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I don't know. It looks impossible, but then you make it possible. Yeah, I think. And in the beginning, you always last year also did a TCR. I finished NGC, but only with 12 hours spare. Now I have a bit more, which was the aim.
What are you gonna do now?
I'm gonna jump in the water very soon, and then I'm gonna sit down and really eat slowly, because every time you're eating, it's like you're just just take time and not think like, okay, if I stop, I need to do this. It's gonna be nice.
Are you gonna use a knife and forks?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes people, they look at you when you're eating there, like shoving the food in your face, like animal-like. No, it's going to be nice. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Of course, the TCR is a self-supported race, but it's common for riders to bump into each other on the road and develop a real sense of shared adventure. Sophie speaks to Clayton Anderson, Cap 249.
I arrived yesterday mid-afternoon. It was about 1 p.m. Yeah, it was great. It was perfect timing. I left the Olympic Village in the late night, knowing that the first climb was going to be steep, and I did that in the dark, and it was peaceful. But I got to watch the sunrise at the top of it, and then the last climb was just spectacular because it was just getting warm, but not super hot.
What was the first thing you did when you arrived on the finish line?
Oh, I had a beer, which was great. I was looking forward to that for days and days and days. And then I finished amongst a group of people we had been interchanging since Sweden. We'd, rode the ferry together and then saw each other again in Poland. And so it was funny to see all of us at the start line and just the immediate, camaraderie. Everybody still smells. Everybody still has their kit on. And it's and being like, what happened between here and there? What happened between, I saw you in Sarajevo, but then I didn't see you again. What happened in Albania? And then I saw your dot and you moved. You only have the snippets of the interactions where you're seeing each other for like 5 or 10 minutes and then you go, but you're seeing each other's dots throughout and you're manifesting what their adventure is like alongside your adventure. And then once you come to the finish line, you get to bring color to those manifestations that make it just really sweet. And I think that that's why that's why the camaraderie kind of built through people that do TCR and at the finish is just so unique for that way, because you're doing the event alone, but there is a togetherness that you all feel towards each other. And so when you're in person, that togetherness makes you it brings a level of attachment and fun and enjoyment, and breaks down kind of those new friend barriers, and just immediately can interact as old chaps, and it's just so fun, and everybody's excited for everybody. Andrew keeps talking about this why. Maybe that is the why of having a moment in time where you can have a memory of your raw self being accepted and your raw self being seen and loved by others, and having the confidence that that person who you are is enough. And if you can feel that in your normal life, maybe that will allow maybe a dropping of the guard, or maybe a more living within your own skin more so. Maybe that's something maybe take that away.
This idea of community and connection is one that all ultra riders will recognize. In fact, it would make quite a good topic for a Sophie Explains.
One thing I've noticed throughout the race is that whenever riders stopped, they were always happy to chat for a few minutes. And now that they are at the finish line, even though they are exhausted, they don't go home. They stay, they spend hours talking, which makes me wonder. If we can spend 2 weeks alone, why do we silently crave company at the finish line? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, why humans need other humans. So do riders actually feel lonely at the TCR? Not necessarily. Here's the interesting part. Being alone and feeling lonely are not the same thing. Psychologists know that what matters isn't just how many people are around you, but whether you feel connected to others. So during the race, a rider may spend most of the day on their own, but they still belong to something much bigger. They exchange a few words with shopkeepers, they stop at the same coffee as other riders and watch the dots moving on the tracker. And perhaps most importantly, they know hundreds of other riders are exactly living the same adventure in exactly the same time. Psychologists call this social connectedness, the feeling of belonging to a community. Sometimes just knowing you're part of something bigger is enough to stop you feeling lonely. So why does our brain care so much about other people? Most of us have heard about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs: food, water, shelter, and then belonging. Today, scientists think that Maslow wasn't completely right about the order of your needs, but he was right about one thing. Social connection is a biological need. For most of human history, being alone was dangerous. You were less likely to find food, less likely to survive. So evolution built a brain that encouraged us to stay together. Just like hunger pushes you toward food, loneliness pushes you towards people. So what actually happens inside your brain when you talk to someone? Quite a lot. A good conversation doesn't just make you feel better, it changes you biology. Your brain releases chemicals like oxytocin, often called the bonding hormones. It also activates the brain reward system, releasing dopamine. At the same time, stress hormones like cortisol begin to fall. So in other words, your brain rewards you for connecting with other humans. That's why spending time with friends can generally make you feel calm. So when you say, "I feel better after talking to someone," that's not just a feeling. Your brain has literally changed its chemistry. So what happens after 2 weeks of mostly being alone? Researchers have seen the same pattern in explorers, sailors, and astronauts. Humans are surprisingly good at adapting. When social contact becomes rare, your brain doesn't keep making you feel lonely every minute of the day. Instead, it adapts. You focus on the mission, you find a routine, and you make the most of the small interactions you do have. But once the challenge is over, something changes. The need for connection comes rushing back, and a simple conversation suddenly feels incredibly rewarding. But is the only reason why riders spend hours at the finish line? No, there is another fascinating reason riders spend hours talking. Your brain doesn't just store memories like a video camera. To build a lasting memory, it needs to organize what happened. One of the best ways to do that is by telling the story. Every time you tell it, your brain sorts the events, connects them together, keeps what matters, and lets go of what doesn't. In other words, every finish line story isn't just entertaining your friends, it's helping your brain make sense of one of the biggest adventures of your life. So maybe the finish line isn't where the race ends, it's where the memories begin.
As the clock ticks on day 17 at TCO number 12, the cutoff point for reaching CP4 looms for several riders. We'll head to Albania later, but for now, there are more riders making their way to Kalamata. When they arrive, our volunteers are there to stamp their brevet card for one last time. And our race photographers are on hand to capture their achievement. One of the people behind the lens is Michael Drummond.
You are the first, one of the first like interaction the rider is going to get on the finish line. And you are here to capture that moment. How is it? Like, how are they?
Yeah, often they are mixed, but there's, I'd say, predominantly excitement is the initial thing, or relief. And some people share all sorts of things when they roll in, usually kind of letting them lead that. You know, they might have been on the road for days without interacting with people, so I guess you need to be soft in your approach. But in terms of documenting it and being, I guess, regressed slightly from engaging too much initially and letting things happen, observing. And then, you know, once the volunteers come in and get brevet cards stamped and collect trackers, you can then, I guess, start engaging again. And often they are so happy, and maybe they'll cry. Some people have asked for a hug. It's beautiful. I think there's lots of emotions, and sometimes people come in numb and they might have had 2 days of crying, or some people turn up and they just want to share and, yeah, just be vulnerable because they've been so raw and, I don't know, exhausted for 2 weeks solid.
And what happened once they sit on your chair?
I think it sets in for them, because often they'll sit down, and just feel a huge sense of relief. I mean, I'll try and make it light for them and make a joke that they can sit on a chair which isn't a saddle, which is always nice. You know, all the cyclists out there know the feeling of sitting on something different after 2 weeks on the bike. So yeah, they're often really excited, and I hope they feel at ease. That's always the focus.
Sophie speaks to another rider to have made it to Kalamata, Larissa Sauter, CAP 66.
If you had one advice to give to someone that is about to sign up but doesn't dare?
I think if you do a good preparation, then you can do it. But there will be hard moments. You have to survive.
Yeah, it's not going to be like just a smooth ride.
Yeah, it's not a smooth ride, not at all. It's a big challenge, and also a mental challenge. Like, if you have always your downs, then you have to look to overcome them.
Yeah. How did you overcome the lows?
Oh, I tried to stay strong. I said some mantras and I called people, called friends, family, and they helped me to survive.
Joanna Raminska Petersic, CAP 148.
So what do you get out of it?
I get this very, very significant feeling of empowerment. I have this feeling of self-confidence that builds up during the race, that I can cope with whatever comes my way. Yeah. If there are mechanicals, I'll deal with them. If there are any other problems, I'll deal with them. And this just builds your confidence, self-confidence. And this is an excellent thing. And it, you know, translates into your normal life. Mm. So, yeah.
Do you feel like in your normal life you lack of self-confidence?
I lack, or...
You don't have enough self-confidence?
No, I'm pretty self-confident. No, it's not a deficit on my part, definitely.
But you needed a booster anyway.
Yeah, we all do.
You take whatever you can, huh?
Yeah.
Of course, as well as the tales of reaching Greece, there are those riders who didn't quite make it and instead decided to scratch to end their race early. One of those riders is Una Baumann, CAP 188, who packed up her bike and travelled to Kalamata by other means to soak up the finish line atmosphere.
Yeah, I had to scratch because I had, since the cold night, I had some problems with the knees. And yeah, I didn't want to scratch. I tried everything I could. I tried to change the saddle height and I tried to change the cleats and I took some painkillers. But the knees were really swollen. Mm. And also the
Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
How was it to make the decision? Because it's part of the race. Like, yeah. At the end of TCR, there will be probably like around 50% of scratch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Every year.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I was really looking forward for Albania and all the stuff that.
So it was FOMO.
Yeah, maybe. And I love cycling and. Then I was like, wow, yeah. I mean, a big project, it's like, I think half of a year, you think, everything you think about is this race. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm a little bit sad, but it's like, okay, I mean, otherwise, if I look at on this side, I rode 2,300 kilometers.
You've done the half.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's already like you already like spend a week on the bike. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, and alone as a woman, I think.
Another rider who scratched due to mechanical issues, then travelled to Kalamata to catch the vibes, is Gerald Rumpf, CAP 28.
I guess it's harder when it's the bike.
Yeah.
And not the body failing. Huh?
Yeah, it's actually pretty hard because I know I could have done it, or I'm pretty sure
physically
I could have done
you
it.
Could,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's a reason to come back again.
Yeah.
I think so. When I was riding, I was thinking that no, I won't ever do this again. But now I'm like, yeah, maybe.
You told me that you feel sad, but you still took part of it.
Yeah.
Are you still proud of what you've done? Or?
Yeah, of course. I'm proud of what I achieved, but I did not achieve what I wanted to achieve in the end because I kind of wanted to show myself that I can finish stuff, and I didn't. But yeah, I'm still a bit proud. Yeah.
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 Night falls in Albania, and there are a few riders that still have a chance of making it to control point 4 before the GC cutoff time comes and goes. Samuel Hussein, CAP 204, arrives at CP4.
I called my wife this morning and said, I'm not going to push for this checkpoint. I'm tired and I want to enjoy the last few days. And then I slept in at the hotel until like 8:30. And then 10 minutes into the ride, I was like, I'm going to the checkpoint.
So did you push really hard today to make it here?
Yeah, I did 13 hours and I think I stopped for 20 minutes.
Wow, the whole day you stopped for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Was this your sort of longest day, or like the day where you stopped at least?
Longest day without stopping.
Yeah.
I stopped to grab three slices of pizza. But it was a nice ride from right at the bottom of the parkour to here.
How do you feel now? Are you proud?
Good, yeah, I'm really happy. I didn't expect to make it, to be honest, and I'm glad. I didn't believe my bike computer telling me that I was getting there on time. I didn't see it, because all the other times it's been drastically wrong and I've arrived like 6 hours later than it has told me I should.
How do you feel about making it to Kalamata in time now?
Yeah, good. I want to see my family.
Are they there waiting for you?
My parents are, but my wife and kids are back home, so just looking forward to getting back now.
Oliver Neumann, CAP391, also sneaks into CP4 to continue riding within GC, but only after a helpful conversation with Amrai Kuna, a friend and top 20 rider at TCR number 8.
It was such a big distance yesterday, and I didn't thought I can manage it.
Yeah, but you did it. Well done.
It's only because of the help of Amrai. Yeah. She wrote me such a good message.
What did she tell you?
Imagine how it is to reach trees.
Yeah, and you did it. You made it to checkpoint.
And now I'm right in time here, ready to continue the travel.
Yeah, and this isn't your first TCR, is it?
It is my third TCR.
Yeah.
But I never finished any TCR, so it's time to finish.
Yeah. What does it mean to be here now on time?
A lot. Before the last three uphill sections, I sat down, enjoyed the landscape.
Just to take it all in and sort of have a think about what you've just managed to do.
It was a tough day, and I really enjoyed it to know I will reach the checkpoint.
Yeah. And how do you feel about making it to Kalamata now on time?
I think it's not so hard to go to Kalamata now from here in this time. This was the hardest part.
Checkpoint 4 is now officially closed.
From those last riders to remain in GC, to the rider who rolled into Kalamata first, almost a week ago, Robin Gemperla, CAP number 1, has had time for a short family holiday and is back in town to welcome riders and enjoy spending time at the finish. Sophie grabbed him for a quick chat.
Some riders at the bike have been a tiny bit slower than you.
Yeah.
Do you have a message for them, maybe? Like, to motivate them to keep going, or...
Oh. That's a lot of pressure, in fact, huh? No, but I don't know if I'm the right person to say that, but I honestly believe that at this point, especially with that route now, like, just somehow making it down here is really amazing. I think a huge part of the whole race is not about how fast you do it, but that you do it. I know this is like something every front runner says, but I would really like to emphasize that this is 100% how I think. I do believe everybody that finishes this race is an amazing cyclist, and honestly, I like, also with Noah now finishing it, it's very touching for me. So I love to see people come here and finish and be kind of a bit of emotional and I completely understand that. I think it's just an amazing achievement. And I feel like there's not so much to learn from racing, but there's a lot to learn from riding. and I think that's why, yeah, time doesn't matter so much. Of course, the racing game, I love to play it, but it's not the most central aspect of it.
And at the end, it's riding your bike, so the longer you are out there, the longer you ride your bike, huh? It's also nice. When you put it like that.
It's just like a huge privilege to do it. It's the most amazing thing to do, so...
All control points at TCR number 12 are now closed, which means it's a straight race to Kalamata for all those riders still out on the road and riding within GC. Here's Sophie for a recap of the day.
Today we spent another day at the finish line where haute couture apparently means whatever the local China Mall has left in stock, and preferably in children's sizes. Today I spoke to one of the riders who told me something I really loved. He rode almost the entire race on his own, and yet he never felt alone. Every day he kept crossing paths with the same riders, a quick chat and a coffee, a few minutes together at the supermarket, then everyone would disappear again, only to meet a few hours later, or the next day. And somehow those tiny encounters turned strangers into friends. And I think that was of the most beautiful thing about TCR. It's an adventure you ride alone, but one of you almost never experience alone, because every kilometer is shared with the riders you keep meeting on the road, and with the friends and family following every dot from home. And one of my favorite rumors from this year is from a rider who was overtaken by another rider on the climb. And it was at that exact moment he thought, I think she's the one. And a few days later, they happened to end up on the same ferry, which apparently became their first date. And by the time he reached the finish line, she was waiting for him. But let's continue with our real Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted Florent de Boisvilliers, cap 381, cuddling the cutest dog and proudly announcing that Balkan dogs are actually very friendly. And turns out they are, as long as you remember their Oan rule. Just like gremlins, they seem adorable until you ride through their territory at 3 a.m. Spotted, cap 385, Alexei Konev accidentally discovering the fastest way to get a summer body. Meanwhile, magazine are still trying to convince us that this should be one of our biggest concerns. Turned out after 5,000 kilometers, nobody's talking about beach bodies anymore. They are talking about what those bodies just achieved. Exactly as it should be. Today marked the official closing of CP4, so for some riders it simply took a little longer to get there, but they got there, and that's why I'm really happy to say that 188 riders made it through CP4 within GC, with already 118 of them at the finish. I think it's easy to compare them with the riders at the very front of the race, but sometimes it's worth taking a step back, because every single one of those riders has already done something that very, very few people on this planet will ever do. And that's pretty incredible. So keep being incredible, and whatever you do, please save your very last watts for the dance floor. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Don't forget, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.